Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah Ta'ala's hamd, Allah's praise, Allah's shukr. Ramadan is passing nicely and has almost passed, rather all of it has passed. And just as Alhamdulillah our majalis, our gatherings were taking place in Ramadan, throughout Ramadan in different masjids, and as I said in the beginning, that Ramadan, we understood the importance of Ramadan and we had to understand this. And Allah Ta'ala has given us such a beautiful month full of mercies. And the meaning of this, of Ramadan, is this, that the whole deen should be revised and refreshed and looked through. And every factor of the deen, every aspect of the deen, whatever part or juz of the deen there is, that in the whole year we should, if we look at it, if we had negligence or laziness or we left things out, then we cover everything in the blessed month of Ramadan. Everything is presented to us, it comes in front of us, we revised it, we practiced it, and Allah Ta'ala gave us such ibadah that every ibadah was practiced and revised and refreshed in our minds. And Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala helped us in this. Now today, because Ramadan is finished and we will get another gift of a fast tomorrow, inshallah we're hopeful that we will fast tomorrow. And this is Allah Ta'ala's mercy, because we have just recited durood, and we will recite durood after as well. But there's a difference between the heavens and earth of this recitation. We are doing dhikr today and we will do dhikr again after Ramadan. We're sitting today and we will sit in the gathering again after Ramadan. But this is Allah Ta'ala's mercy. If we get one extra fast, then what difference does it make? Yes, we'll get another chance, Alhamdulillah. And millions and millions and millions of good deeds can be collected in one day. Just in one day. So Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. This is the final day we will be here in this masjid in Ramadan. This is our last majlis in this masjid. Like I said in the beginning, Ramadan started in this masjid and is ending in this masjid. So today, Ramadan is reminding us about this ibadah. So if we grab that now, we're still in Ramadan, and do dua and pray, that this is such an action, a deed, an act of worship, that our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gave us so much education and ta'aleem and tabliq, and he stressed on this ibadah, he stressed the importance of it, that he didn't emphasize as much on faraid, on compulsory actions, as much as he did on this deed. So understand the importance of this deed. So to be lazy on this, to be negligent, then this is really pathetic. This is weakness for our deen and for our akhirah if we don't understand this ibadah, this worship act. And in reality, insan, the human being, was created for this purpose. Yes, Allah Ta'ala didn't have an objective that we are born and we'll do dhikr, we'll read Quran, or we'll keep fast, or we'll do various actions, or Allah will put us into ibadat or mujahidah. No, for the pain of the heart, for the broken heart, the individual was created. Otherwise, for ita'at, for obedience and worship, this was not the necessity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created insan, the human being, for this reason, that Allah ta'ala wants to see how much of humanity comes into us. How much humanity comes into us? How much do we love and care for each other? How much gentleness do we have for each other? How much affection do we have for each other? And that's why Allah Ta'ala into our hearts instilled muhabbat, love, affection, tenderness, regard, due care for each other. Allah Ta'ala has instilled that into our hearts. That's why we are different to animals. We are different to animals. If we take out gentleness and affection and love, then what's the difference between us and animals? An animal for its stomach will kill other animals. It will kill its own children for the stomach, to fill the stomach. So if we come onto this platform, then the objective of the human being is finished. The humanity will have disappeared. And we'll say, what is this qawm? Who are these people? Then what is the difference between us and the animals? Nothing. Nothing. Not just that I stand up and I've got a nose and ears and a mouth. No. What's the difference? Why did Allah create us human beings? Just like I read this poem, that for the painful heart, for the broken heart, for the heart full of love and shafqat and regard for this. And if our heart becomes hard, then it's like the animals. We become animals then. Then he's not a human being anymore. He's an animal. In previous days, when a person would go on a journey, when a person would go on a journey, he would get to such a place where it's very silent in a jungle, and he saw a man there, or a light, or a human being, he'd get happy. Oh, Allahu Akbar, I found someone, a human being, he'll help me, he'll give me the guidance, the route, I can see him, he's a human being. And today, if a human being is stuck and from far away he sees another human being, then they run the other way. Oh, everything that I've got, oh, he's going to take it, he's going to rob me. It's better I go and get an animal. I don't want to find a human being. He might take all my wealth from me. So today the trust has broken down between us, human beings. And this is called affection and love for each other. And this month was given for this reason, for affection and love and regard, so we can revise this. This is the sparkle of Iman. You understand, brothers? This is a great ibadah in the eyes of Allah. And this is where we will get increased status in the hereafter. And this is on which the scale, our deeds will be weighed. And our Quran, our Salah and the Masajids. If you don't have pain, if you don't have love and regard for other human beings, then we are like the animals. We like the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sitting once in a hadith. I would like to present this hadith that's coming to my mind. I will present this to you, this hadith. And there was a jama'ah of the Sahaba present there sitting. The congregation of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And while they were sitting, a musafir came, a journeyman came to the gathering. Straight he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said that I am a musafir, and he's speaking with the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the Sahaba sitting there. He said, I am a musafir, I am a journeyman, I am on a journey. And I've heard that you, mashallah, have akhlaq and you have love. But let me tell you clearly. Let me tell you, I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a believer. I don't believe in your God. I don't believe in you as the Prophet. This is my deen, which is your deen. So it's your choice. But I'm in need. And I need to travel far, and I don't have transportation. And what does our deen teach us? Look, this is now ta'aleem. What happened in this hadith? That we are the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallam, did he reject him? No, he didn't reject him. Because this is not linked with our deen. If a person rejects a human being, Rasulullah sallallahu could have said, you go, you are not linked with Islam, I'd have no tie with you. But subhanAllah, Rasulullah could have said, go to the Rabb that you believe in. I am the Nabi, and I am the Nabi of the Muslims. And we don't speak to people like you. But no, this was one way or one route. But what happened there? Not this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us ta'aleem, education. That you don't look at a person, what is his religion. Don't ask him questions. Rasulullah didn't ask him, what is your deen? The who are you, where are you from, what is your madhab, what is your religion? And which sect do you belong to? Nowadays we ask them, what sect are you? Which city do you live in? And alongside when we ask someone, where are you from? Which city? What maslak do you follow? If there's a river, and there's a city on one side and a city on another, then that's it. All our relationships are broken. There will be no meetings. To this extent that you have the same dialect, the same language. I'm talking about our culture. Same dialect, same language. But how dare that man go and visit the other man from the other village who's on the other side of the river? Different races and sects and dialects and cultures. We call ourselves Muslims. We break the ties. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given ta'aleem, education, all the sahaba sitting. And Rasulullah didn't question him. The question didn't come. He himself asked that man. And this is a beautiful point here that the ulama akram, the scholars who give the tafsir here, they said that in that day and age of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the situation, the conditions, that he was a kafir, he disbelieved, but he wasn't a cheat. He spoke honestly, straightforward, down the line. He spoke straight. He said on this and that, he could have tried to trick Rasulullah, he could have become a munafiq and tricked and said, I'm a believer. But beautiful ta'aleem is given here. Beautiful first point here, that what do we do today nowadays in the generation? That if I want something from someone, if I've got a job with someone, I'll go to him and I won't tell him anything. I won't tell him who I am or where I've come from. Few days I'll stop and I'll say, I came to get a loan from you. Can you give me a bit of money? O servant of Allah, why did you need to spend a few days with him to win over his heart? Just speak direct, straight away. That's it. But Muslims today, we need to look at ourselves. So straightforward, he was not a believer. He said, I've come here. This is what I am. It's your choice if you can help me, but this is what I am. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't ask him anything further, and he didn't say anything to any companion. Rasulullah stood up and stated that, look, is there anyone from here who today can give to me a transportation, a form of transportation? For himself, Rasulullah requested. He didn't say to the Sahabi, give to this man. Or he said, is there anyone, Sallallahu said, is there anyone today who can give me like a horse or something to travel on? I promise to you that on the Day of Judgment, inshallah, in Jannat al-Firdaus, your Nabi, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, will give you the transportation of paradise. So this time was tight. The Sahaba were tight. They didn't have, for days they were hungry, poverty, hunger, thirst. They were just coming back from an expedition, and the Sahaba were in such a situation, they didn't have transportation, horses. On one horse, many companions would share and travel on one horse. They didn't have no slippers, they had no shoes, so their old clothes, the vest, they would tear the vest, make the cloth, and tie it under their foot, so they could save themselves from the heat of the dust on the earth. This was the Jamaat of the Sahaba, of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the iman. And we complain today. So one companion stood, even though they had nothing, and he had a camel, and he gave the leash of the camel, the rein, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the transportation was received. Then Rasulullah, then the musafir spoke that the situation is this: that I'm a journeyman, and you're giving me the camel, but I don't have any clothes to wear. I don't have any clothes, and it's severely hot. So, can you please give me something? Because I need some clothes. I have no clothes to wear. I need cloth. So Rasulullah then got up again and stood up and said that, look, is there anyone here who can give me some clothes? I promise to you that whoever gives me clothes today, on the Day of Judgment tomorrow, when the heavens and the earth are being squeezed and there will be severity, and the heavens, the sky will be hot, the sun will be close, I promise on this day today, that what was the promise? That if you give me clothes today, then I will envelope you in the cloak of my rahmah. I will enshroud you. Hazrat Ali radiallahu karamallahu wajh stood up. He had a torn cloth on his body, and he took that off and said, Ya Rasulullah, this is the cloth from me. And he gave the cloth. Torn cloth. Then the musafir asked again, that I am a journeyman, I am on a journey. Musafir, you give me the camel, you give me the cloth, but I have a stomach attached to me, and I'm hungry, badly hungry. I'm hungry from days. I need some food. Can you give me some food? Subhanallah. So now there's silence. Now the Mufassireen write that there were more than 300 Sahaba in that gathering. More than 300 Sahaba who were there, and they heard this. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there, and everyone silent. No one spoke on this one, because they were silent on the food issue. They were hungry from 3-4 days themselves. They had no food at home. They had nothing to give, and they were all sitting there hungry. They had nothing in their stomachs. Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, he stood up. He said, okay, I will take you to such a place, O journeyman, where definitely we'll get some food for you to eat. So Hazrat Salman Farsi got up and took the journeyman. And he went straight. Where did he reach? Where did he take him? To the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house, the Ahl al-Bayt, Rasulullah's beloved daughter, Hazrat Fatima al-Zuhra radiallahu anha. He went to her house and he said, O Ahl al-Bayt, O daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there's a journeyman here, musafir, and he's asking for food from Allah Ta'ala, give some, for the sake of Allah, give some sadaqah, feed him. Allahu Akbar. So there was poverty there also. There was poverty there. The ulama akram, the scholars have written that from inside, the answer was given from Hazrat Fatima al-Zuhra, that you know my situation, you don't know how my situation is, but I've got two children playing outside, Hassan and Hussein. Go and look at their face and see that how many days they've not eaten, and how many days of hunger you can read on their face. Hassan and Hussein, but you've come to my door, and no one leaves this door empty-handed. So Fatima won't send him empty-handed. I have nothing. Here is the cloth on my head. I take the cloth off my head and give it to him. There's a Jew, Shamun. Go to him and give my cloth in mortgage, and bring the flour, and I will make the bread for him and feed him. Allahu Akbar. Brothers, this is the Sahaba. This is our deen. This is our akhlaq. This is our salah. This will make our salah ibadah, our worship. So, subhanAllah, Hazrat Salman Farsi took the veil from Hazrat Fatima. He took the cloth to the Yehudi who took the, and he said that there's a musafir here and I want to take some money from you and mortgage for this cloth. And this is the cloth from the daughter of the Prophet of Allah SWT that you have to take. And can you give me some money as a loan for this? So the Yehudi, he saw this scene. He saw the cloth, he took the cloth and cried. He started to cry. And he said, Hazrat Salman Farsi said, why do you cry? This is the cloth of the beloved daughter of our Nabi SAW. You have no link with her. Why are you crying? Why are you distressed? And he said, the situation is this, that in our Torah it was written, it is written in the scripture, our book, that the Nabi in the final day, there's a sign from the Nabi of the final time. One sign will be such that any musafir will come to his daughter's house, and the house of his daughter will be nothing. And she will take off her cloth from her head and send it to a Yehudi to be given in a mortgage. And I am that wretched man. You've brought the cloth to me. However much you want money, take it, wealth. But I don't know when I'm going to pass away. Quickly, quickly take me to that Nabi. Quickly, he's the honest Nabi. So I can come into Islam. SubhanAllah. So this is a hadith, alhamdulillah, that for the sake, well, read. And I wanted to read in your service that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Islam, He has given to us. This great deen. This is the deen of aman, my friends. No fighting, no quarreling, no murdering, no dispute, no beating, no hitting. In this deen is love and love and love upon love. And that thing has come out of our hearts today. I tell you the honest truth. Today we have no affection for each other. We don't think for each other. We don't have regard for each other. We don't have love for each other. We don't have kinship and ties. Everything we have dunya first. Is there profit here? Is there money here? If I'm friend with this person, will I get profit? My brothers, this is destruction. Ramadan is departing and has given us this message, the final message of Ramadan, that where I gave you the message of salah, I'm leaving you behind with salah. You had forgotten Quran. I've taught you recitation of Quran, and many people have become those who have recited Quran in Ramadan. Many people before who were immersed in the sins, for my sake, Ramadan says they've now learnt about those sins, and you've left the sins, and just like 30 days you left the sins. Oh people, there were such people who were doing, practicing sin and had left the big deeds of Islam. They had left the sunnah of Rasulullah, and I made them, reminded them about sunnah, and I revived the sunnah in your life, says Ramadan, and I gave you mercy and fadl and blessings. So all of this, Ramadan has revived all of this, and it gave us the tartib of sadaqah. People took out sadaqah and zakat in Ramadan, and now this is the final message of Ramadan, that what I'm leaving with you, never leave it. Grab hold on to it. If you don't have yaqeen, how do you know that next year you're going to stay alive to next year? Many people, I myself know, I came last year, I met those people just like I've met you in this Ramadan, and they didn't understand me and they kept me. Ramadan says just to Ramadan, and they didn't go beyond Ramadan, but they did not live beyond that time. So Ramadan has departed, is departing. It's told us every point of Islam, zahiri ibadat, physical worship, spiritual worship, batini worship, how to spend our wealth, how to earn. So brothers, remember, don't forget the messages of Ramadan. And the final message of today is very important. Akhlaqi husna, the high level akhlaq, which is the ruh, the spirit of Islam. Create akhlaq within yourselves, in your heart. Have affection for others, love for others, regard for others. On little things, don't have argues. You don't have space, you don't want to give space to a brother, you spread your legs. You don't want to give someone space on the musalla. And if someone has a need, you'll make excuses not to help him. Brothers, have love, affection, help, assistance. And if you do this, in Allah's eyes, is great, big ibadah to help social intercourse. If you're weak in nawafil, you can't pray tahajjud or nawafil, sadaqat, you can't give, you're weak. You can't give charity. There are reasons that you don't have things to give. But Allah Ta'ala says He's given you His heart, the heart, hasn't He? Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you a heart at least. Make your heart soft. Make your heart tender. Islam says that even if you smile at someone, if you can't give him bread or money, sadaqat, you can't assist him physically, at least smile that person and shake his hand. Allah says, I'll give you a few thousand good deeds. At least smile at that person. This is Islam, brothers, Islam. This is the real picture of Islam. This is the silsil of Islam. The whole of Ramadan has given us, the summary is akhlaq. Did Ramadan say in the whole month, beat people, fight them, kill them, give them pain? Not in one place in Ramadan. 30 days you've passed, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, with aman, peace, satisfaction, contentment, regard, love, and affection between the hearts, and soft hearts and tender hearts. This is the rule of Islam. Softness should come, gentleness should come, regard for other human beings should come. My brothers, what's our situation today? Forget about people who aren't under the banner of Islam. We don't even love our own people. We don't even love our family. We don't even love our relatives. Wallah, this is not deen. Wallah, this is not the deen of Allah. Wallah, this is munafika. Don't lie. Don't be a hypocrite. If you see the Yahudi, that he was a disbeliever, he saw that he's speaking the truth. He didn't know that I don't have transport, or he didn't care that I won't get any food. He said, I want to speak honestly with you, straightforward. Straightforward. That tell me, how bad is lying? On the day of judgment, brothers, this is such a great hadith. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that on that day when people will come to me to get my intercession, my shifa'at, I will intercede. At that time there will be one person, one such nation of people. I will say that I have no link with those people, and they were those who lied. The people who lied. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on the day of judgment, I have no link with these people. In one hadith it stated that on the day of judgment, at that time on Qiyamah day, there will be a qawm, a nation, a group of people, their tongues will be hanging down, and with the scissors they'll be cutting their tongues. On the day of judgment, with the scissors they'll be cutting their tongues. The Sahaba will ask, who are these people? Rasulullah said that these were those people who lied. They lied in their mouths. And they lied so much that meaning comes out, that what will lying become? Lying will change. There will come a day and age that this day and age a person will lie and he will become a politician. He will be called the person of hikmat. This is a need. I've got to lie today. Why are you calling me a liar? I have to lie today to get by. This is the day and age we're living in. Lying. And the liar is called the honest person. Fraud. Deceit. Deceit. Why? Because we don't have trust and regard nowadays upon our words. Every statement's a lie. The tongue is just left. You're signing that this is my position. For example, you're signing on a form, this is my position, this is my status, I'm poor, I don't have no wealth, no money, I need this money. And when you sign on the dotted line, don't you sign? And this is the people who trust us are those who aren't Muslim. And the Muslim, they'll say, oh, he can't lie and sign fortunately because he's got belief in Allah. But they only think, okay, at least I'll get some money, I'll pass by. And what's a lie is this? When we fraudulently claim, deen's finished there with the lying. So think here. The Ramadan is telling us this, that the person who fasts with the wrong signing, that what is the status of his fast? Not accepted. And Ramadan said, I've come to teach you that if I'm not here and you don't practice my message, then where's your deen gone? If one fast you can't keep due to your lying, and all year long, the rest of the year, you're going to practice like this, where can I sign and commit the fraud and lie? And somewhere we lie on the form, and sometimes we do tawbah and we lie after that. On our tawbah we lie. On the repentance we lie. Remember this, what will be our hal on the day of judgment? Brothers, we do tawbah, we repent and we lie. We go to a wali of Allah. And what do we go to a wali of Allah to do? To do tawbah, to repent at the hands of the wali. Because we know that one day, if I do tawbah here, I'll repent. And when we do tawbah, we say we will leave haram and awful actions. And this deed, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, I'll promise. This is the promise, isn't it? This is tawbah, isn't it? To promise. And we are going to do this. Yes, 40 years, and we promote ourselves in lying, but we don't see the promotion spiritually. Is there a bigger lie than this? That a person who is promising to Allah and he's lying at that time. Think about this condition. What's happened to our qawm today, Muslims? Our mashayikh aren't walis anymore. The marids aren't marids. The doors have been shut. Angels are shocked. Is this the tawbah of a student? He's a munafiq, hypocrite. He went to the sheikh. He didn't go with the niyyah. He wanted to leave the unlawful actions. He went with dunya in his heart. Rather, the Quran gives hukam. The order of the Quran is, go to my Nabi. Allah says to the women, go to Rasulullah Surah Mumtahina. That Allah Ta'ala says, go, O believing women, that I am sending the believing women. Rasulullah was told that the believing women will come to you. Give them bayah. Give them the pledge of allegiance. And ask them to promise that we won't do shirk, we won't murder, we won't lie, we won't do indecency, we'll protect our chastity, etc. This is the way to do tawbah to a sheikh. When a murid goes, he makes the same promises like from the surah. I won't do this action. I will leave these sins. And this is tawbah. This is the path of tasawwuf from that time.
The 40 years prior, Murid, the student, he's put his hand into the hands of the Sheikh, and he's still immersed and drowned in fraud and cheating. Astaghfirullah. His face has changed, his libas has changed, but his unlawful actions have not changed. So this is the hal today of a person doing tawbah. We're going to do tawbah, and what does the hadith tell us? That the liar, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of judgment, have no link with the liar. Allah, brothers, wake up, wake up. Where are we? How can we deceive Allah more? We are deceiving Allah more. We brought deceit and lying into religion. Imagine, Ramadan gives strong doses of injections, brothers. And if we don't understand now, if we don't rectify ourselves now, if we don't revise the deen now, if we don't bow with humility that Allah, I promise to your wali, to my sheikh, I'm not a relative of my sheikh, I'm not related to him, I have no blood tie with him, I didn't go to earn dunya from him, but munafiq, the hypocrisy is so much prevalent today that yes, I'm going to take bayah with the sheikh, and he's got big students, they're rich, and if I take bayah with the sheikh, then I'll note the phone numbers of his murids, and after that I'm going to ring him, and I'm going to go to Pakistan and contact him. Yes, I'm a murid of the sheikh as well, I heard you're a murid as well, I've got a diary, what's your phone number, let's do business. Astaghfirullah, how sad. Where should insan go today? Where can we go? Why have we've closed the doors of paradise, my brothers? Such a beautiful path. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us the path of tawbah. Such a beautiful path of tasawwuf and to take bayah and to do bayah with a sheikh. But in my heart, I've got a different intention and the sheikh's got a different intention. We don't intend for the sake of Allah to clean our hearts. But Ramadan is departing. You're fasting. You're hungry, thirsty. You got tarawih. But I've come to correct you, Ramadan says. I've come to correct your bayah, your allegiance. I've come to refresh your tawbah. I've come to create the spiritual ties between yourselves. Because Ramadan isn't about staying hungry or thirsty. This is not the objective, Ramadan tells us. Day in, day out. Brothers, there are those people who, they could not fast due to illness. Aren't they? There are people who are ill, they could not fast. There are many people who could not keep the fast. But is Ramadan not for them? There is Ramadan for them 150%, just like there is for us. Ask an alim, a scholar. Even if an ill person can't fast, that doesn't mean Ramadan is not for him. He's reciting the Rushif, he's getting the same reward, he's doing the same actions. So it's not necessary to attain benefit from Ramadan that you have to fast. Ramadan means what? That the whole of your deen has to be corrected. This is Ramadan. So when tomorrow we come out of Ramadan, our whole deen is corrected. Whatever Ramadan came and gave to us, the salah it gave, the Quran it gave, the akhlaq it gives, the manners it gives, the rights it gives, the tawbah method it gives. Wherever we made mistakes, we are insan, human beings, we make mistakes. If we did bayah, took the hand of the sheikh, just tell the maqsad, what is the maqsad of taking the bayah with the sheikh? Tawbah, repentance, becoming a better human being. But due to the name of that sheikh, how many places did I travel after for the sake of dunya to meet his students, to do business? I remember, I'm not a sheikh, but I talk about this day and January, this day and age, this generation. And I will say this point for Islam rectification. Long time ago, I was in Masjid Nabawi, and quite a few people used to come and meet me. And a minister, chief minister, this MPA, this, you know, in Ramadan, in the end of Ramadan, lots of people come, salam, wa alaikum salam. People used to come and give salam to me. And how did I know there were such individuals in between who did bayah in this silsila to make a diary, a notebook? But I never used to meet people out of just habit. I didn't have a link. Never did take anyone's number in my life, because my sheikh, who gave my tarbiyah, who made me a murid, and I learned from my sheikh, and I promised to him that I've come to do tawbah at your hands, my sheikh. I've come to leave the dunya, the love of the dunya. I was rich and I took the poverty at that time. I'm talking for tarbiyah to my jamaat and the whole world. My murids are listening. It's my haq. It's fard on me today in Ramadan to my murids, to my students. If I don't do islah, then on the day of judgment, Allah will grab me and ask me. I'm not that sheikh, that peer who deceives, who looks around which students are here, which one shall I please and which one shall I not please. I am weak. I don't desire that the responsibility Allah has given me, that on the day of judgment Allah grabs my neck and the students grab me by my neck and say, he didn't tell us, milk is milk and water is water, oil and water don't mix. I talk straight. So Chief Justice Saab came to me and he created a link with me. He was the Chief Justice in Pakistan, in Lahore. I had no link with him before that. For the sake of Allah, he said, can you teach me the name of Allah? I said, that's it, no story. And he had love. He came to meet me to learn dhikr, and he was a minister, a chief, and he had secretaries, foreign secretaries. Dunya used to come, wallahi. And I didn't know that I was going to be there and I'm going to meet such a person, because I never invite people for the sake of anything apart from Allah Ta'ala's Zat. That Allah Ta'ala, if you're close to him, then everything becomes easy. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, ni'mal mawla wa ni'man nasir. So why do you look left and right? Allah Ta'ala is enough for us. We don't need any assistance or help. Allah Ta'ala says that they will come to you for tawbah. So why should I become dependent on people? But murideen who are sitting around, who can explain to these people who are munafiqs, hypocrites, who look for the other students so they can get their numbers and addresses and do business with them. Then a phone call came to me. Hazrat, I'm distressed. I said, what's wrong? He said, Hazrat, that there were a few students of yours, they keep coming after me, they come to my court to meet me, and there's I'm working there, I have protocol, and there's a system for the sake of Allah, please tell your students, don't come there to meet me. And I started to sweat when he phoned me, because he was honest, and an honest person thinks everyone's honest. When a person comes to me, I've come to do tawbah, I will say, fine, he's honest and he's come to do tawbah. And how do I know that who is this and who is this person, is it? So Allah Ta'ala has given us such a great and easy path. But don't try to earn dunya out of this path. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us this path. And when you go to Wali of Allah and sit in His company and you do tawbah, and I give you dawah, invite you all today, do tawbah this way today. Do tawbah. This is Allah Ta'ala's promise in the Quran. Read Surah Mumtahinna. How the believing women were sent. Rasulullah was told that they will come to you. And Rasulullah was told to accept their bayah and then do dua for these people. This person doing tawbah, this woman, this man, and they're doing a tawbah in the hand of the sheikh, or via the sheikh. So you are doing tawbah for these people. Inna Allah ghafoorun raheem. Allah Ta'ala says, I don't waste a second. I am a Rabb. I'm the creator. Will I not forgive this person? I forgive this person and I change his sins into good deeds. This is that path. Tasawwuf. That if you go to a sheikh with the right sincerity, niyyah, and follow the sunnah and give bayah, pledge allegiance, and your whole life will change. Because spiritually, you're doing tawbah. But if you do fraud there, you lie there, you deceive there 40 years, 50 years, you promise, you've still got haram, deception, lying, still trying to earn dunya, run after dunya, and spending and wasting your life in dunya, Allah says, this deception will not work. Who is telling us this? Ramadan is telling us this. That improve your akhlaq, make your akhlaq good, correct your tawbah, the promises you made. If you promise to a human being, you have to fulfill it. So if you promise to Allah, how can you forget the promise you made to Allah? So brothers, this is the final meeting of Ramadan in this masjid. Tomorrow will be a fast, probably will be in another masjid. So these little things and points we've learnt in Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala has reminded us. No problem, we've made mistakes, we make mistakes in the future. But on the Day of Judgment, remember where everything will be weighed, that we promised this, that we broke the rights of this person, we broke the rights of that person. If the heart is hard, read the Quran. What does the Quran say? That if your hearts are hard like the stones, the rocks, then there is a solution to this. There is a solution to this. And what is the solution? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, dhikran kathira. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. O people of belief, dhikr, remembrance of Allah, is such a strong thing that even the hard heart becomes soft. Allah Ta'ala's name comes into the heart and slowly, slowly the heart becomes soft. So what we need, we should do dhikr. We should do dhikr because dhikr will make the heart soft. We shouldn't leave dhikr for this reason, that we don't think there's a benefit. Why? Because the heart is hard. It's hard, and when the heart is hard, the akhlaq goes, the tenderness goes, the deen goes, and all of the practice goes downhill. So how can we correct the heart? If we don't correct the heart, if we don't correct it, then we cannot have the zeal and the passion and the intention to do good. So do dhikr in abundance. Go to Wali of Allah, request him to teach you dhikr so the heart can become soft. So one thing we have to take hold of, that in Ramadan, Ramadan teaches us to make your heart soft. Do dhikr kathiran kathira, so that the promises you make to Allah, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, the Allah Ta'ala, we believe in you, we will get rizq from you, wealth from you, we will bow in front of you, and everything we will do for your sake, and we will listen to you, and we read your Quran, and obey you, and go to your masjid, and prostrate to you, and turn to you, and ask for wealth from you, and then La means nothing else. Allah, La means this, illallah, only you, just with you we want the link, and from no one else in the world will we bow to or ask from, and we won't have a link with anyone else. And Muhammad Rasulullah, and whatever we get, we'll get through via your Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we don't believe in him, then there's no value of iman. If we don't follow your sunnah, if we don't practice the sunnah, if we don't take the akhlaq from Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we don't make our life according to the sunnah, then Allah, we won't attain your ninis either. We won't even attain your ninis. So Allah, take us out of deception. Ramadan has come and given us this message. We do dua to Allah. Allah Ta'ala makes this Ramadan a beautiful Ramadan for us. And the mistakes we made, and all of the reminders that Ramadan has given to us, we should correct them. Wa akhru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.